Would you welcome Michael Landon?
Did you ever get ever really plowed behind a mule or a horse before?
Did I ever get plowed behind a mule?
No, ever...
I occasionally took a sip or two like Ed, but I never got plowed behind a mule.
Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Landon Nation. I'm on with my co-host, Kelly.
Say it with echo.
I should always do it with the echo, you think? Or
I don't know. It was just funny. You sound like a town crier when you do it. So, like, in my head, when I think Landon Nation, I think...
Nation! This is like Captain Caveman cartoon when I was a kid. Where he goes, Captain... Caveman! No, so it's Landon Nation. Landon Nation, we're here.
It's all Landon all the time.
It sure is.
You sure did.
How you doing, Kelly?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm... That's what we're doing in this episode.
Yeah, basically. It's a really good episode. It's very conducive to, you know, playing that song.
Yeah, so we're doing Highway to Heaven. We're doing Parents Day. It first aired February 25th, 1987. We just passed February 25th a few days
ago. I was just thinking that. Yeah, it's pretty close to the anniversary.
I mean, unfortunately, we won't release this for, you know, a while. But
yeah, so this is like irrelevant, basically. Yeah, I mean, but we are recording it very close to the anniversary of its airing.
Which is important, I think. You know, that's not nothing. Actually, there's that one comment that the kid says later after he catches his dad snorting coke.
Oh, he's like, nothing is nothing, not nothing. Or like, he says something really weird and the dad looks so confused.
It's funny. Robert Culp wants to look at him and go, not for nothing. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Look, not for nothing. You're a moron. The music in the beginning of this, I noticed, is pretty fun. Let's see. Actually, it's like university music, right? A little Christmassy.
Yeah, so we're at this, like, I guess it's like a fancy boarding school that the kid goes to.
Did you ever see Rushmore,
the movie? No?
I think you would like
it. I'm trying to remember, because, like, it sounds familiar, but I'm like, have I seen it, or have I just heard about it?
I can't remember the name of the main actor, but he's Talia Shire's son. I don't know if that means anything to you. Yeah, it's a little Christmassy sounding. And Robert Culp is in this. I know Robert Culp mostly from The Greatest American Hero when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But he also popped up in Dr. Quinn a couple times.
He sure did.
And I don't think he was as gray as he was in this. I have to agree with you.
Yeah, I don't really remember him like looking gray. So I'm like, I don't know if he was dyeing his hair or what the deal there was.
But he's playing one of two parents who, I guess, called to the school to talk about. They're going to talk about this. I'm going to go right into it.
Oh, this is a side note. Yeah. On Robert Culp's IMDb page, I was thinking it's really funny. It says, tall, slim, and exceedingly good-looking American leading man, Robert Culp. Exceedingly good-looking.
Exceedingly.
I'm like, that's... I mean, he's not bad looking, but I'm like exceedingly good looking. Who wrote that? Some Robert Culp super fan out there.
Well, he would have had to write that. It's the IMDb description.
Wait, the actors write their own description?
Yeah.
Maybe he's funny, actually.
Is he still around? Is Robert Culp still alive?
No.
Not too funny.
Let's see. No, he died in 2010. That's actually been a while since he died.
Yeah, 14 years.
We found this marijuana cigarette in David's drawer during a cursory search of the dormitory in anticipation of the Parents' Day open house.
What kind of school is this that has cursory searches, for one, right?
I mean, that seems pretty controlling.
And two, who calls it a marijuana cigarette?
It makes me think of this this interview that they played on the Beatles channel, like when they do those little clips of like Beatles interviews, and it was Paul saying, like, he's calling them like herbal jazz cigarettes. I always thought it was really funny. But that's what that made me think of, is like the herbal jazz cigarettes.
Paul McCartney.
Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr. It was herbal.
Well, are you really sure that it's David's?
Been at Cambridge for 23 years, Mr. James. Each boy is like a son to me. And David is the first that I've ever had to discipline for drug possession. There's no mistake. It's his.
I can't believe it. I just can't believe that our son would...
Dr. Windsor.
I want to kind of comment on her thing, on her sweater. Like, it's kind of like... I don't know what...
You could know us a little better. The kind of people we are, the kind of values that we've instilled in David since he was a baby.
I'm sure that's true.
What is it? Like, I don't really understand.
Is it like a scarf? But it looks like it's just draped over her shoulder.
But it looks like it almost goes up the sweater.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it part of the sweater?
Oh, but then it's here as well. I don't know what it is. Maybe it goes through the belt?
It's like a scarf she put over her shoulder, and then she has, like, the belt over it, which I guess is holding it in place.
It's kind of cool-looking, kind of 80s.
But also kind of weird.
Yeah.
Will the police have to be called in on this?
Oh, I don't see how,
This would be my answer for pretty much any involvement of law enforcement.
I was just going to say, like, that's actually pretty clip-worthy.
Oh! Let's hear it one more time.
Will the police have to be called in on this?
Oh, I don't see how the situation should become as drastic as all that.
That's like a line I need to use that, like, at work sometime or something, to like, have some situation.
Dr. Windsor, I'm a public personality, and that kind of thing with police can't help but bring down some very unfair publicity on David. And, of course...
On David or on you? As we learn later.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. You're quite right. That kind of thing would be most unfortunate for David. And as you say, the school does have a reputation to maintain, responsibility to the other students and parents.
So he lets them go. They kind of... I felt like this guy was being a little bit of a jerk about it.
The principal?
Yeah, or whatever. I called him, like, a headmaster. I don't really know. I mean, it does seem like a prestigious school. I was thinking it might be, so it's a high school, right? It's like some type
of, I think so, like some sort of like prep school or something.
Yeah, it's kind of, I feel like he's just like very much, I was ready for him to say, well, as long as your, you know, payments keep coming in, maybe you want to be generous.
Yeah, so then, like, spoiler alert, but the episode came out in 1987, so there are no spoilers. So looking back, once we learn that, you know, the dad is actually an addict, so then, like, so obviously he has reasons why he doesn't want attention brought onto it, because, like, he doesn't want to be, like, uncovered. And maybe subconsciously he feels, like, a little bit, you would hope that there's some, like, guilt, at least subconsciously, right, that, like, he himself is an addict, and he's, like, coming down on his kids so hard for.
But, you know, they kind of bring that up later, because it was like the denial aspect where.
Right. Yeah, they do. They do specifically say that, like, denial is, you know, like, one of the signs of addiction, which the guy, I guess, is, I don't know, like, and we can kind of get into it as we're talking, where it's like, is he really in denial so hard that he, like, does not see the hypocrisy, or is he just kind of, you know, being.
I think he sees it later. But I also want to warn our listeners. So we're going to be talking a lot about cocaine, and we're going to be talking about drugs and addiction. And it's something I think, you know, both of us kind of, you know, we understand people do struggle with these things, but we're also going to look at it from a completely entertaining point of view. Sorry.
Yeah, that's our like disclaimer. So we're not making light of addiction, but you know, it is also just a TV show, so we can.
Sure is.
The point I was getting at, though, is like, so how the dad, he seems kind of like his mannerisms, and he seems kind of like really like nervous and rattled and stuff. But since we later on learn that he is an addict, it's like, is he kind of like tweaking out because he like, you know, needs to get a
little
fix, you know?
You mean a little bit of a
about a little toot?
Yeah.
So we get a better shot.
By the way, like, is that something that people don't say that anymore, right? Because like, I've never heard that outside this episode. Like, have a little toot.
Little toot.
How about a little toot?
Little toot. Not
was that something people said in the '80s? Like, have a little toot.
I know nothing about these things, but I've read in a book.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, toot's like it's the throwback term. But a bump is like the one where it's kind of like you got to look out for the guy who's calling it a bump.
Okay, I mean, because, like, I have heard that. Yeah. Not that I'm, like, all up on the drug lingo, but, I mean, like, you hear things just being alive, right? Like, you become aware of things. So, it's like, I've heard bump before, but I, like, toot. I'm like, I don't know what this toot is.
You know what it is? Cocaine. So,
but anyway, yeah, it was a new word to me, I guess, is what I'm saying.
A little toot. A little toot. Yeah, it's
when I think toot, I think fart. So
it's a total it is, I think it's more of a 70s thing. Mm-hmm. I forget which Cheech and Chong movie it is, but Paul Rubens is in it, and, you know, before Pee-wee the Pee-wee character was really developed, and he plays like a total cokehead, and I'm pretty sure he's like referring to it as taking a toot.
Oh, interesting.
I'd have to go back. I could be completely wrong, but it's a very funny character. Lots of cocaine.
Understanding.
So how old do you think? I mean, I'm thinking he's going to be older than her. I'm going to say he's like in his late 40s, even though like, no way, right? I mean, in real life, Robert Culp, I guess I should have looked that up, right? How old he was during it.
I mean, I think he was born in like 1930. I was just like looking, I think, was it 1930? Yeah, 1930.
Good call.
So,
57. So he's 57. Yeah. He looks his age here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was going to say, like, as far as how old I think he looks here, I'm like 50s, but she doesn't look, she looks like maybe she's a little bit younger.
And yeah, I'd say she's a little bit younger.
For your discretion.
Drugs are for losers. And Cambridge doesn't graduate losers.
Oh, we know that, Doctor.
Yes. Well, let's hope that David does, too.
Okay. Thank you.
I meant to. How about a little toot?
So, they go out to their son who's waiting in the hall. I think every kid has had to go through moments like this. Not necessarily finally having your drugs found, but just kind of like having to deal with something and having to wait in the sidelines. They should have had him in there, in my opinion.
That's kind of how I feel about it, too, because I don't really like situations like that where...
Like, we're going to tell you what was said.
Right, right.
That's why I don't like parent-teacher conferences. You know, like, I feel like we can all, you know, be adults. We can all sit down, right?
And,
but kids are not allowed.
I did.
One question. Just one, yes or no. Was that your grass, your marijuana cigarette?
I just like keep throwing out words for it. Was that your grass? Was that your reefer? Was that your marijuana cigarette?
Was that your grass?
Yes, sir. But a lot of...
Save it. Save your excuses for your mom. She may be interested in them. I'm not. You let me down, pal. Betrayed all of us. You are a profound... disappointment to me, my son.
I hate that.
it is so extreme. Like, all right, look, young, I've not gone through this yet. I'm sure the day will come, but you can not say that to your kids. I feel
like. No, that's crazy. Like, I hate, and especially as we learn, like with his own addiction, it's like especially infuriating.
Yeah.
But I just like, I really hate that he says that to him. Yeah. And I mean, it's like,
it's unfair. It's a terrible
thing. And I'm also kind of like, I mean, for just like your kid had a little bit of marijuana, that's a really extreme reaction, in my opinion.
Even in 1987 so I was like 13, 14 years old during this time. And I remember when it was like, don't go near drugs. You know, like it was like the whole like Nancy Reagan, just say no type of thing. And actually, I think this is even after that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, even like with that mentality, I think that this is way too extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's him doubling down. It's his character doubling down on his own guilt.
Right. But then, I mean, ultimately, that doesn't, saying things like that to your kid, not only is it like extreme and harsh, but it really doesn't like help keep them away from anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, if anything, like probably like your average teenager is pretty much like, well, screw you then. Like,
right.
I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Right. Mission accomplished.
I have to get back to the studio. I have to go to work. Diane. I'll see you home tonight.
The mom seems okay. I mean, she's quick to call the police, of course. But, you know, for the most part, I think she was dealing with it better than her cokehead husband.
Right, yeah. I think that she seems maybe like she just is, like, worried. You know, just sort of, like, worried about the situation, but...
Mm-hmm.
Not so much judgmental about it.
So, all right. So you put a link there, you know, there, but I was going to use that later. If that's all right with you.
Oh, yeah, I just put that there so that, because right. I was thinking about it. So
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a messed up thing. I mean, this kid's probably like, let's just say 16 or something. Like, come on.
So what's going to happen?
It's like, you're going to be arrested and your whole life is going to be ruined just like in the movie Reefer Addicts.
We're thinking death penalty.
You have to throw yourself on the sword.
Dr. Windsor's been very understanding under the circumstances. You'll be grounded, but you are going to get another chance.
All right. Another chance. That's what I would be thinking. Like, all right, I'm not expelled.
Mom, a lot of
I don't want to hear it, David. Just say no. It's as simple as that. From now on, just say no.
Jack!
I don't even know why I played. I just had to.
I knew it was going to come up at some point.
Don't disappoint us again.
Poor kid, right?
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
He's watching his dad on TV.
In his fancy dorm room.
Yeah, he's got a color TV. I guess that was pretty normal back then. All right, so this is my favorite part, kind of. No, it's not really my favorite part, but it's about to become it.
Like, I'm not staying.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear. So there's crickets throughout this entire episode, which is really interesting. So I just want to hear if we can hear crickets the whole time.
You tell them, Dad.
Birds.
Those are birds, right?
Yeah, those are birds.
Also, it's kind of interesting that we don't meet Jonathan and Mark until almost 8 minutes into the episode, because sort of the typical Highway to Heaven formula, it like opens with them driving around in the car. Kind of like, what's our next assignment? You know, that sort of thing.
And the way it ends is terrible, I thought.
But then, like, wait, what was that?
The way it ends, it just ends.
Mm.
There's no, like, we've learned the lessons. On to the next town.
Yeah. But anyway, it's weird that, like, they don't have kind of the usual opening. They just open with, like, the kid, you know, being disciplined. And then now, like, 8 minutes into the episode, Jonathan and Mark are there. I mean, it's actually not really, like... a lot of angel talk either, now that I think about it.
They're really not in this episode very much, really.
It's kind of crazy.
I'm not standing up here to talk to you about the facts of life. You're all a little bit too old for that. But as you prepare to go on to college, I would like to talk to you about the facts of death. Last year, thousands of teenagers died on our highways in traffic accidents. And in most cases, those accidents were caused by other teenagers who were either too drunk or too stoned to know how many people they murdered until they woke up in the hospital the next day.
Whatever you think and whatever you think I've done, this, I'm telling you, this substance, cannabis, is a whole lot less harmful than rum punch, whiskey, nicotine, and glue, all of which are perfectly legal.
That's pretty much what that Brad kid was saying, like in the audience.
So, of course, I would imagine Michael Landon would be the same way in real life. Like if he saw somebody yawning while he was talking.
You, what's your name?
He's like, you, what's your name? And he's like,
I don't want you ever, ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
That'd be awesome.
Me? Hey, you, what's your name?
You, the kid who needs a haircut.
Bradford Dietrich.
The kid who clearly looks like he would be the drug dealer of the bunch.
The cooler looking kid of the bunch.
And you, Mr. Dietrich?
Oh, no, sir. I find this simply fascinating. It's just that no one at Cambridge uses drugs.
And you're quite sure of that, Mr. Dietrich?
Quite sure. Drugs are for losers. Cambridge graduates winners.
Jeez.
He's like, I totally did it. He kind of looks like his name should be Jack. I'm just saying.
What name?
Jack! I'll never let go.
All right.
There are actually a lot of episodes of Highway to Heaven that deal with drugs, or like, mm-hmm. you know, addiction and stuff. There are numerous of them, actually. And I think, because I had read somewhere that one of Michael Landon's kids had like an issue with drugs.
Well, didn't Michael Landon Jr.?
Was he the one? Because like I didn't know which one it was, but like one of his kids had an issue with drugs.
Well, in the movie,
and then so that he was. You know. So I'm kind of like, this is maybe kind of like one of his kind of like pet causes, you know, because he has like a lot of episodes in Highway to Heaven where they touch on things like that. And then, of course, in Little House, you know, there's the morphing episode.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of a recurring thing, you know, it's, mm-hmm. we don't just have it once. I mean, then we have to have like Victor French going through rehab and all types of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, there are like a lot of drug episodes of this actually. Like when Pete asked me which one we were recording, I was like Highway to Heaven. And I was like one of the drug ones. And he was like, which one? Because it's like, there are like so many on this show where they deal with that. But so
one thing that I would say that Michael Landon probably, I would say in all of these examples, like I would say almost every single time he brings up drugs or alcohol, is there's always a way out. Like there's always a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And, do we have moments where the drugs become such a problem where it's an irreversible situation? I mean, like the blind school didn't go up, you know, because of drugs, for instance. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been, like, crazy tragic if Albert was, like, on drugs and starting a fire.
Well, they were smoking.
They were smoking tobacco, but
yeah.
Or we assume it to be tobacco.
Maybe when we do that episode, we need to use Hi, 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 where they're smoking in the basement.
We got to get I have to. That'll be. Yeah.
I mean, I think generally, though, and I think that the feeling that I always get, like, from these episodes is that it takes like a very like hard stance, like against substance use, but also like sympathetic, in that it shows that people can be redeemed from it, and that like, you know, kind of comes at it more from like a like loving perspective, really, than just being like, oh, you're like an irredeemable loser because, you know.
Right. He's never going to give up on anyone.
Yeah.
Even the morphine in Albert.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so Mark speaks. It's a lot of the same stuff. You know, like drugs are bad. You know, it's, obviously it's the point of the episode. So, let's see. We're back in the dorms.
Aren't you going home this weekend?
I'm grounded.
Oh.
Why is there an echo?
You know, I can't believe your parents. What if a couple of creeps let Windsor do that to you? They could have handled him. Better take my stash. Windsor's probably going to have dogs in here this weekend sniffing for the old devil weed. Hey, take it easy.
The audio is weird in this particular, maybe it's just this particular episode or my copy, but it has like kind of a weird artifact in the background.
He's dumping his bag of oregano in the toilet.
It's literally oregano, right? Like the driest weed that I've ever seen in my whole life. He's like, I don't need you, weed. Yeah. He flushes. I'll never let go. I'll never let go. That's what he's thinking when he sees his, what he sees is like $18 worth of weed going down the toilet.
It's a little late to be getting rid of the evidence, isn't it?
Hey, Brad.
I just come by to see if you need a little something for the weekend, and here you are, flushing my Primo stuff down the toilet.
That was his Primo stuff? You're
right. How about a little toot?
Not going to be doing drugs anymore, Brad.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
I want to play it one more time, but play some of the music, because it's... I forgot about that.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
To me come off, first me nearly dead with laugh. I watch the people rush the door like a bash. I took up from time there, yeah. Time for the bus ride. Sunshine.
Those narcs didn't scare you, did they?
Well, some of the things they said, they made sense.
No, you just a little frazzed because you got busted. Don't worry. The store will be open for you when you get back.
Dude needs a tweezer.
Yeah, right?
Now look, I gotta make tracks.
The only cool kids talk this way.
Only the drug dealers talk this way, the drug dealer kids.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't give this guy a beeper or something like that. I gotta go.
In the movies tonight. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, kid.
Thanks, kid. So, this is so funny. Officer Mark Gordon, Metro Vice. All right. So basically, he calls the police on his father, which I think is a pretty big leap in the show.
Yeah, well, so the Mark's whole speech that we kind of like skipped over, where he basically was like, yeah, some of your like parents are probably doing drugs and like you need to call them out on it. You know, like if they're being hypocrites, you can't let them get away with it.
That's some commie stuff right here, turning your parents in. I mean,
But then I was like, I'm kind of interested in like some more backstory with this, though, because like, so he knew that his dad had drugs.
Right.
But it seems like the mom does not know.
No, the mom is unaware.
So why does the kid know? You know, like, I'm kind of curious in, like, how he discovered that and how that all played out, you know?
Yeah, I think he probably discovered it, you know, because kids are always going through stuff, maybe. But yeah, there's police cars there, and it's like, all right, in all fairness, this is, it's not the tiny, it's not a large amount of cocaine. It's not the smallest amount either, but this doesn't warrant this type of police response.
Well, plus the way that the one cop that like holds the cocaine up, the way he talks about it is really weird too. And he's like, this isn't the kind of snow you find on mountains. Or he said like says something really weird like that. And I'm like, who says that?
Also, they would need a warrant. I mean, unless the wife just let them in.
Yeah.
The whole thing is kind of questionable. But I guess, you know, that's what God was doing. He's been giving warrants to Jonathan. The way this guy pulls up.
It actually would have been an interesting twist on the episode, like if, because you know, like when they get these jobs and stuff, how like they're just provided with like the resumes and stuff, like yeah, to get the job. So like it would be really interesting if it's all like, you need a warrant for this, and then they're all like, oh look, we have one, you know, and it's like, where'd that come from? And it's like one of the things that they were like set up with for the job,
like an I Dream of Jeannie thing.
Ding! Yeah.
I mean like Bewitched.
What is it? What's happening? Is my wife all right?
Your wife's fine. You better go inside.
This is a very... I think their house is nice, the way it's mm-hmm. set up and everything, but it's a lot of rug.
I don't know. I was just going to say, I hate all the carpet.
Like, you throw some hardwood floor... I mean, you tear that up and show the hardwood floors, it would be really nice.
But I mean, I guess like this was still that time when like carpet was really popular.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of going more towards like the hard floors.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Was it a robbery?
No, it wasn't a robbery, Mr. Chan. Are you in charge?
I am. What's going on is that you and your wife are under arrest, Mr. James, under Section 11.3.2 of the State Criminal Code, possession of controlled substance.
What are you talking about, controlled substance?
Like, why does his wife have to be under arrest, too?
Because it's
in your garage. Okay. Next to your skis, but it isn't the kind of snow that you ski on.
Yeah, nice, see, this is such a weird thing to say. I don't know.
It's like, maybe we can get you guys a cell together. You know, it's just, the whole thing seems so sketchy and weird.
What's a mistake? Do you know who I am?
That's like me, like when I'm out in public and somebody like questions something I'm doing. Do you know who I am? I have a podcast.
Right. Do you even listen to London Nation?
Yeah.
My wife watches you every night.
Well, you don't have any right.
I'm surprised you didn't go, can I get you an autograph? Or
right to come into my house and treat my wife and me like this without a warrant. I hope you've got one.
We don't need a warrant, sir. We have probable cause.
What probable cause?
We received a tip.
Oh, yeah! Tip? From who?
From me.
Saboteur! I'd kill my kid. I swear to God, I'd punch him right in the face. I'd be like, you're out. Yeah, like, I'm throwing you out. Like, all right, granted, I think we can both agree that the dad needs some help with his substance abuse, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Or substance use, abuse, however you want to look at it. But for him to, like, involve the police like this is...
Well, and that's, like, kind of, like, why I wonder about the backstory. Like, how did he find out? How long has he known?
Yeah.
And then it's, like, there could be some other kind of confrontation that's not just calling the cops.
Also...
You know, like, you could have, like, you know, confront the situation and... Also, maybe try to.
David gets taken away.
Well, I think it's crazy when, like, she's all, the mom's like, who's going to take care of our son? And I'm like, you mean your 16-year-old?
Right. I genuinely was thinking at this point, I'm like, oh, wait, he's under 18? Like,
yeah.
And we have these guys playing cards. Who knows what kind of shenanigans are going on in this youth center. But Jonathan, like his sneakers. You wrote that somewhere that he was wearing the sneakers.
Yeah, like when later on, when you pointed out that he was seated really high in the cop car, then when he gets out and is walking up to the house, you can see that he's wearing those white sneakers, but like with this like brown suit. And I'm like, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I talked to your mom this morning. She and your dad are going to stop by later today.
Well, will they take me home?
They never want to talk to you again. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. I mean,
he does seem kind of oblivious. Like, I don't know really what he thought would happen, like, when he involved the police. But he does seem kind of like a little bit oblivious to the fact that like it's a big deal.
Yeah, like I think he just is like, oh, it'll be nothing. My celebrity father, nothing. My mother being arrested, nothing. Weird.
I'm afraid they can't take you home until after the juvenile court judge decides whether they're fit to take you. There should be a hearing on Monday or Tuesday.
Fit? They're my parents.
You've been charged with a serious crime.
Thanks to you, they're criminals now, David.
As a son, we know you were being disciplined by Dr. Windsor and your folks. Now, if there's anything you want to change in your story, let's do it now before anybody gets hurt any worse than they are.
Changing your story? What?
Yeah, he's encouraging him. I mean, I guess, so at this point, they are still, I mean, I wonder if Jonathan knows the truth because he's an angel, right? But the parents are all like, oh, David, like, you know, pretty much framed us. And people really all seem to believe that. And I think that Mark even kind of seems to believe that, too, because, like, he's kind of going, like, here, like, going from the angle, like, well, you were just trying to get revenge on your parents. Mm-hmm. And then you did that, which, as we learn, is not the case, because the dad actually is, you know, using cocaine.
I wonder, we should look up, like, the TV guide, if it even exists for this time. I bet you this is considered, like, you know, tune into Highway to Heaven. It's going to be a very special episode, a very important episode. Because the way they're approaching it is not like a normal episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, like we don't get like the kind of setup.
Usual setup, yeah.
At the end, it really does just end. And there's no banter, really, between Mark and Jonathan.
Yeah, it is kind of strange.
Don't believe me, do you?
Son, this is serious. If your folks need help, let's get it for them. But if you're just trying to get back at him, I think we ought to know that now so this thing doesn't go any further.
I told the truth.
You're not the law. I'm the law. I'm on the law and I'm the law.
So we have damage control dad. I mean, he's on the phone making some calls.
Don, if I'm guilty, there's no way in the world you can keep me on air as an anchorman. I know that. That's flat. But as it happens, happily, I'm not guilty. Now just let me go on the air this afternoon. I can straighten out this whole mess. Are you going to have to use this story?
Look at this crazy thing. What is this? I mean, it looks
like a weird statue. It looks like some weird, like, soldier type thing.
Like a pilgrim or something. What do you keep in these pockets? Apples?
Between now and then, just make sure you say I'll have a full statement to make on the 6 o'clock news. At least we can get some ratings out of this thing. Thanks, Don. Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye. Cocaine.
Did you mean what you told the station manager about being able to straighten things out?
I better mean it. If you would like to go on living in this house.
Because all my money's kind of tied up in cocaine.
Yeah, right? I like the house, like, it is nice, like you said. It's just, like, too much rug. But, I mean, like, the staircase.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff is very nice looking.
Yeah, I like all this molding and everything.
Maybe a little... I would like a little more contrast between, like, the molding and the... wall. It's like a little bit too baby blue.
You know what's weird is so when my house was built, it had things like these molding in the dining room, mm-hmm. and at some point they removed it, you know, and it's not there anymore. But down the street from me, somebody has the identical house because that's just how they built them, and they still have it, and they mm-hmm. have that, you know, and it's like bright white and I think like a dark blue, and it looks really nice.
I like molding like that. Like, yeah. I think it looks very good. But I like it like with contrast like that, like what you're describing sounds mm-hmm. really nice.
But I'm so glad they tore it out just to paint the walls, you know, beige or something.
Yeah, right.
Smooth job.
Well, I mean, that's just basically like with like the really nice hardwood floors that they like cover in carpet. Oh, and it's like, crazy. Are you nuts?
You know what's crazy too is very often when they do that, they hammer into mm-hmm. the hardwood floor. So when you pull it up, you have all these new nail holes everywhere.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Or not, truth has to come out.
Why would he do this?
was...
Why would he do this? He wanted to get high.
Pot with marijuana in the dorm. We grounded him for 4 weekends. This is his way. Getting even.
I just can't believe David would do something like that to us.
That's what drugs do to people. It was David who made the phone call to the police. David who knew where the drugs were.
What are we going to do?
You can't quit the drugs.
The only thing we can do. He needs help. He's going to get it. But I'm not going to sit here and watch everything we've built destroyed because somebody in this family is a drug addict.
So the way he said all that was kind of weird. Like,
yeah.
Like, like it was kind of like no emotion behind it, really.
But like, I kind of think so. This is like where I'm kind of divided on, like, is he really, really in denial, or does he kind of see like the hypocrisy? Because everything he says there really applies to him,
mm-hmm.
and like not his kid. And he does seem very like acutely aware of like not wanting things to like become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't want to be discovered, you know, like with his own addiction and stuff. And it's like that speech could very much just be like about himself, where he's like, I'm not going to let all this be destroyed because of a drug addict. The drug addict is him. But like the wife doesn't know that.
We get a nice shot of a movie theater circa 1987. Where, you know, everybody's kind of, it looks as though they really filmed this in a movie theater. Everyone's dressed, you know, kind of. The way you would expect. It's weird. Like people like do the throwback thing now and it's like, well, people are just kind of schlubby back then too.
Yeah.
This guy looks like he's wearing pajamas. You know, it's not this guy though. He goes to the movies with a tie. This guy's, you know, got it all together.
Look who's here.
So we see like his girlfriend take like when he starts talking to the cop, she takes like a we're not there yet, I guess. The picture's kind of lagging for me, so I'm trying to like keep up with it. But we do see her like kind of take it and go off to the bathroom with it, which it's like, okay, is she hiding it? But then it's like we learn later that she was obviously using it too. So
see if that's any better.
How you doing, Brad?
Mr. Smith. Should have known you'd be a Clint Eastwood fan. It's my girlfriend Leah.
Nice to meet you.
I've never met a cop before who doesn't wear a uniform. Are you on some kind of assignment?
Yeah, you could say that. Can I talk to you for a minute, Brett?
Sure. Always have
and
time.
That really is the only reference that we get in this episode to his whole angel thing, and that's even really indirect.
Yeah, it's like really, really indirect, right? It's kind of like, sort of.
Police. I'll be back in a minute.
I'm just trying to get to the movie poster scene. Like, that woman is wearing all, well, it looks maybe pink pants, but she's wearing white cowboy boots.
Yeah, well, do you see Michael Landon's white tennis shoes with his suit?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And look how puffy his hair is from the back. That's really funny.
So you heard about what happened today?
Oh, it's not Coming to America. It's The Golden Child with Eddie Murphy. Mm.
101 Dalmatians.
I think it's kind of funny.
That's Paris.
Yeah. Who would have guessed? Ronald James. Mr. Clean. Doc Windsor's probably crossing his name out the alumni roster as we speak.
Yeah, well, I'm more concerned with David right now than I am with his father.
What does this have to do with me?
Well, we know someone's dealing drugs at Cambridge. Not just marijuana. Speed, coke, you name it.
And you want me to help catch him?
No, I want you to retire and today before I have to.
Sounds like you think I'm some friend of his.
You're more than just a friend, Brent.
You better have some proof before you go around accusing people of dealing drugs. This is America. Even cops have to have proof. I got my rights.
What about the rights of the kids you're poisoning?
They don't have rights.
And then just like does he know that he's the drug dealer, like, because he's an angel? Like, so he has the insider knowledge?
Yeah, like, I'm thinking that has to be it, right?
I mean, because there's nothing that has happened, like, externally that people would see, like, if you're not one of the kids at the school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how would he know that it's him? Like, if it's not that he knows because of, like, his, you know, angelic powers.
So I'm going to list a bunch of words for cocaine that I'm surprised they didn't use.
Okay.
Well, there's blow, there's bump, there's C or big C, never heard. Coke, of course. Crack, which I've never heard Coke referred to as crack.
I've heard crack cocaine, but like said is like the two. Yeah.
I always thought that that meant, crack.
Mm.
Dust, which I always thought was angel dust, which is PCP.
Mm-hmm.
Flake, which I've never heard. Lime, never heard. Nose candy, which is my favorite. Pearl, rail, snow, I've heard. There's a Kiss song called Snowblind, which is about cocaine. Sneeze, sniff. Speedball, which I always thought was heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And toot, your favorite.
Yeah, right.
And white rock, which I would imagine that would be like crystal meth or crack cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of those I haven't heard, but like line I've heard, because I think I've heard people like talk about line, you know, like doing lines or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, and I knew that was a thing. So I mean, I guess line, but I actually like I didn't realize that that was like what they called coke. Like I thought that was more like the because it's like in a line shape, you know, like so I don't know, like I didn't know that they were actually calling the drug lines. I thought that they were just like calling it doing lines. Well, but
one thing I learned that I thought was kind of crazy about cocaine is they'll cut cocaine with baby laxative.
That's crazy.
Because you can get it in a powder form that's similar, like an consistency to cocaine. So from what I understand, that's why, like, if you do like really cheap coke, it makes you go to the bathroom.
Oh, really? Yeah, wow.
That's what I've heard. I don't know. But, you know, it's, it sounds like fun, right? Going to the bathroom, being high.
Hey, I don't need this. You want to search me? Go ahead. You want to search my room at school? Get a warrant.
I don't need a warrant. I'm an angel. All right, so let's see. We're at the youth center. Mark is playing cards with...
And this kid is, like, all dressed up there still. That's pretty funny.
I think he's in, like, the same outfit.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, he is.
That's the saddest potted plant I've ever seen over
there. Right.
Couldn't throw a fern up there?
David, it's your mom.
Your mom!
Mom, where are you? Station? Is everything all right? I mean, Dad didn't get fired or anything.
It's almost like, you know, when you turn people into, you know, criminals, you know, they lose things. Bring me White Castle.
He's bringing the phone like, Mom, thank goodness. Can you bring me a line, please?
How about a little toot?
Can you turn the television? My dad's going to make a statement.
It would be hilarious if, like, when they turn on the TV, it's like, his dad is on the news. And he's just totally unchained. He just starts, like, doing coke on air or something like that.
He's like,
we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
Okay, I'll call you right after.
It's just sort of instinctive, I guess. We all think that this country's drug menace is the other guy's problem. Well, as you may have heard on this newscast... last night, that problem came to my house. It started yesterday afternoon when...
That'd be funny. I mean, not funny, but these guys are all doing, like, coke back here.
Yeah.
The headmaster of my son's school told us our son, David, was a drug user. Last night, the police came to our house and more drugs were found on the premises. My wife and I were understandably shocked until we discovered... it was David who phoned in the drug tip in a desperate attempt to draw attention away from his own guilt.
David. He should just have like an English accent and just go.
Whatever you think and whatever you think I've done, this, I'm telling you, this substance, cannabis, is a whole lot less harmful than rum punch, whiskey, nicotine, and glue, all of which are perfectly legal.
Glue.
I love that he throws a glue at the end.
Glue? Like airplane glue? What? It's
awesome.
Huffing glue. Glue. Because you know what? Like in the back of his head, he's like, I can go for a little glue.
I saw this like story that popped up on Facebook that was about like when Paul was in jail for like, I think it was like 10 days in Japan when he was caught with marijuana there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like there were stories about how like he was like doing sing-alongs with the inmates and stuff like that. And I'm like, how crazy would that be if you're like in jail and like Paul McCartney's there like doing sing-alongs?
It's like right up there with like Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison.
Yeah, like that's like actually pretty crazy.
Wow, that's something that nobody would believe you.
Yeah. At his newscast thing though, so once again, that's like another one of those things where it's like you totally are like talking about yourself, right? Because when he was like, oh, this was all like, you know, just like this like desperate ploy to like draw attention away from his own guilt, it's like, but that's what you're doing right now,
right at that very moment. This is precisely. I kind of didn't like that Mark is like, you're real lucky your dad is so awesome.
Well, and then even like that lady at that place was like, oh, he is such a brave good dad, you know, like for doing that. And I'm like, what?
What I think is kind of strange is it seems to me like Jonathan is not being sympathetic to David because, like, all right, so David smoked a little pot, as far as we know. We don't know if he's done anything else. But it's almost like that's just as bad, it seems.
Mm.
And in my opinion, it's not. It's just not. And in Paul's opinion,
I mean, I kind of think that, too, and just even, like, the way that, okay, so they catch him with, like, a little bit of pot. And then it's all like, oh my gosh, you're like a drug user, a drug addict, such a disappointment. I'm like, this all seems really extreme, you know, for someone. But and it's like, and I don't know, because it's like because Brad apparently deals like every kind of drug or something like that.
Right.
And then it's like, I don't know if we're supposed to believe that David has also dabbled in like some other drugs, too. But we know that that Brad is and his girlfriend, you know, that they're using cocaine and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, I think that like, I think it's a really, really big leap to be like, okay, so our kid was caught with a little bit of pot, to be like, oh my gosh, he's like a total drug addict. You know, like, it just seems like it's like too like far, you know, into the whole.
Yeah. I don't care for it. So I think they have like a dying poinsettia in the background, by the way.
It's
kind of weird. Like, what other plants are red like that? It's kind of weird. It'd be funny if it was a pot plant. we grow our own.
You know, David, what your dad did today, he did for you and for other kids like him. And I'm pretty lucky to have him for a dad.
So he tells me.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, pretty lucky that your dad just, like, threw you under the bus on television.
It's like, you're lucky I don't jump out of this car right now. Bring up my dad one more time.
How much longer till we get there?
Another half hour.
But then I wonder, like, so Jonathan, though, does he the whole time know the truth about the dad? Because he, like, seems to know that Brad is the drug dealer the whole time. And does he know that the dad is the one with, like, the addiction the whole time? That kind of why, like, is it not that he's not sympathetic, but is it just that he's sort of like, I'm going to sit back and let this play out? And then, like, it's the truth is going to come out.
Yeah, it's almost like he knows where this is all going.
Mm-hmm.
This, I thought, is kind of crazy. As soon as David comes home, and he's like, I'm sorry. It's like,
sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry this happened, but I just had...
It's all right. We know now that by calling the police, you were really crying out for help for yourself.
It's good to have you home. We'll beat this business together.
It wasn't my coke.
Well, let's talk about it later.
It's been a long day for everybody.
Just because you said it on television doesn't mean it's the truth.
Honey, why don't you and I go up to your room now?
By the way, this, like, station, I don't know, like, how big the station is or whatever, but he almost seems like he's really, like, a celebrity for being on the news. Right. And I'm not really sure, like, how big of a deal it really would be if, like, a newscaster's kid, like, used some drugs.
Well, I mean, it's a local news thing, right? So,
yeah.
I think it would be a minor story, but it would be a story, I think.
I mean, that's kind of like, I could see there being like an article about it, you know, and something that people like might talk about a little bit, but I just don't know that I really see it being like.
Right. I mean, if they had made him out to be like a big star, which is what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know. But.
I want to thank you two gentlemen for everything that you've done. If it wasn't for your support.
Yeah, we're both very fond of David.
Well, we are too.
You should. He is.
Yeah, you sound really convincing when you say that.
Ordinarily.
I love my son.
The drug counselor said that denial is common in young drug users. Supposed to be the first sign of addiction.
Yeah, well, denial is very common among all drug addicts, both young and old.
Oh.
Oh, that must be why I'm in denial.
Right. <it's, laughs> but I'm not young.
Well, here we go. Good night, sir.
Good night.
I thought he was going to go up there and kill him.
Hmm. I went away.
Oh, did? Sorry.
So this is the part, though, when he gets out of the car, you can really see his tennis shoes, like after he gets out of the car here with his brown suit. It's pretty funny.
You're like, why up here? It's like sitting on like a phone book or something. Like an old Cadillac. Wow. I don't see too many of those.
Especially his head is like on the ceiling.
It's like, I'm a tall man. Like, you ever adjust your seat or like somebody uses your car and they mess with the seat and they bring it up? And I'm like, the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, my Volvo has like the memory seat, but the Toyota doesn't.
Mm.
It's just like, I can't live like this. That's why I always turn to
cocaine.
See, look at those shoes with that suit.
Look at that. That is amazing.
Yeah, that's like a wow.
It's like a Larry David outfit.
It's like a, just because he's an angel doesn't mean he has fashion sense. Right.
The loudest bicycle I've ever heard in my life. So he goes to Brad's parents' house and he's like, hey, it's Michael Landon.
In school last Friday.
Oh, yes, you're the vice cop that Brad talked about. Come in, officer.
Thank you.
Is something wrong?
This is Mrs. Richard. Hello.
Whoops.
Brad?
Oh.
It's not home, officer. I think he's out with his girl.
I didn't come here to talk to Brad, Mrs. Dietrich.
Why don't we go into the living room?
Oh, it's like, hit him over the head. So this, I mean, it's like nice for the 80s and everything, but I couldn't live in a house with this many things going on.
Yeah, I mean, I like that they have hard floors.
Oh, yeah, like over there,
that
yeah.
Car, you know, that's kind of nice.
I'm talking about this, like...
The wallpaper and that carpet in that room, it's, like, pretty busy.
And that pink trim?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
The pink trim is... What is that, a dog fighting ring?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I also like the ceiling. It has, like, these crazy slats.
What can we do for you, officer?
I mean, look in this other room. I mean, it goes on. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot going on. Yeah. It's very busy.
Mr. Dietrich, I wish there was an easier way to say this, but I have reason to believe that your son Brad has been dealing drugs at Cambridge.
Brad? Mixed up with drugs? That's impossible.
Brad could never be involved with drugs, officer. He's the most popular boy in the school.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah, the popular kids never do drugs.
Exactly.
It's popular, Mrs. Dietrich, but I guarantee you it's not because of his personality. I tried to talk to him yesterday, and I didn't have any luck. I thought
it's not because of his personality. Have you met the guy? He's a prick.
He's a little prick.
Your son sucks.
My son told me that you interrupted him and his girlfriend went to go see Titanic, and you're interrupting.
Jack, there's a boat. Jack.
You can see him interrupting in the middle of that scene.
I'll never let go.
Hey, Brad. Interrupts like Titanic.
Guarantee you it's not because of his personality.
Which is shit, by the way.
Yeah. That's totally kind of how it is.
The apple kid doesn't fall sucks.
He's terrible.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Nobody would ever talk to him if he didn't sell drugs.
And I swear to God, that pink trim is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Just kick over the chair.
Now I think it's time for you to leave.
I don't know what's worse, your son's personality or that wallpaper.
Have you tried making up little rhymes?
It doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry, that's your attitude.
And the next time you come in the house and accuse my son of peddling drugs, you better have a warrant.
You know, it's really funny. That's what your son said. Get a warrant. Look, Mr. Dietrich, I didn't come here to bust your son. I came here to help him. I was hoping you'd feel the same way.
We'll take care of our son, officer.
Well, you better, because otherwise I'm going to.
Oh.
And then it's going to be too late for your son, Mr. Dietrich.
And let me tell you, that personality in prison.
Wait, I have to do this.
Well, you better, because otherwise I'm going to. And then it's going to be too late for your son, Mr. Dietrich. I'll show myself out.
What is this a painting of? I kept thinking it was an album cover, but I'm not sure. It just reminds me of something. I just can't. So he's in his room, staring at the wall.
What's in the cup there, Raoul?
You know what's in that cup.
Cocaine.
Got a minute?
What do you want?
Well, I want to talk.
How about a little tip? I already did. It's your viewers.
I came home early so that we could discuss this, as they say, man to man.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
It was your coke. I did so let me kill you.
His voice sounds like from that cartoon.
Yeah.
Well, look at this kid's got it all set up.
I mean, he has like this whole like entertainment center.
He's got the movie game up there. I didn't have anything like this.
Yes, it was my coke.
Cocaine.
And I know that what you
did. Nice little sniff right there.
Yeah.
Mr. Cocaine right there.
Did out of love. And I love you for it.
I just did it so that you would stop.
I know. I know. But now, you've got to grow up very fast, because this is the real world we're dancing in here. This is not a hypothetical speech you get at school.
Drugs can kill. Cocaine kills, Dad.
I know what cocaine does, my son. Yes, it kills people who can't, who don't know when to stop. Young people.
but I can handle this substance.
So here's his, like, denial right here, right?
Completely. Like, I could stop anytime I want.
It was cocaine.
Yeah. It is, like, basically the attic, right? I mean, I can stop whenever I want. I just don't want to stop now.
Well, and then, like, even the way that they're talking about this, it really makes me... It goes back to that thing I was saying before where it's, like, how long has a kid known that his dad was doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And had they actually talked about it before? Because it kind of seems like the way they're talking about it now, it almost seems like this is not the first time the subject has been broached, you know?
And also for the dad to say, it's my cocaine, it's like, well, yeah, I know. it's not mom's.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that's no surprise to anybody. I think the one thing he said that's true, it's a little bit more... I guess less friendly is he has to grow up really fast because this isn't like, you know, this is a big deal now because you involved the police.
Yeah.
And it's like probably like CPS is involved and like in the real world. Yeah. Child Protective Services might be called in. And
right.
For that amount of cocaine, I still don't think that you would get this type of response. Unless it was like, you know, a high level politician or something. But
right.
I don't really see this as being, you know, a big deal, even though I personally think that cocaine's a big deal. But yeah, I think in the big scheme of things, you just wouldn't have this. But if it was meth maybe or something, if it was, you know, 2024, it's, you know, it would have to be meth.
I try to understand.
Or like fentanyl or something crazy like
that. Right.
Some days I'm working 16, 17 hours preparing just to get ready to do the 11 o'clock news. Then I got to go on looking fresh.
How about a little too?
That's the name of the game.
And that's totally true, too. I mean, this is why, like in Hollywood, you know, everyone, of course, I mean, you know, this, everyone knows this. You know, that's why cocaine's so popular with like so many people because it's like they're going through like crazy days of.
Well, and I mean, I've actually thought that before. I mean, if you have a personality that's even like given at all to like, you know, maybe kind of depending on things, or if you have a little bit of an addictive personality, like that sort of environment, obviously, where it's like the stuff is just widely available and just like the kind of lifestyle that you're living. And then even like when you're on set for like super long hours, but you're also like not active, right, all of those hours, and there's a lot of kind of like
a lot of downtime.
Right, and then it's like I can like see how like, you know, people, how it's kind of conducive to like falling into you know, some of these things that people fall into. But I've actually, since Landon Nation with Michael Landon, I mean, I've thought before, I mean, like, so like with his, as we know, like when he had the affair on the set of Little House and, you know, ends up going through the divorce and then marries Cindy, which that was like his, when he left his first wife and then married his second wife, I believe that he met her like on the set of Bonanza. And I'm like, these are very like similar stories, you know, like it is almost like a little bit of a pattern, it seems. But I mean, I think it's kind of like a situation like that where it's like you're working really long hours away from your family. We know that they were like drinking a lot on the set, right? And it's like you can kind of see how this could kind of be like setting up for things to happen. You know what I'm saying? So like, not that I'm condoning any of the behavior or anything, but
yeah, I don't know.
You can kind of see how it's sort of like a little bit of a recipe for things like that to occur.
What's the bigger evil, you know, the cocaine or the betrayal?
Yeah.
As far as we know, did Michael Landon ever have like a substance abuse issue?
I mean, the only thing that I know about is just like that he drank a lot and smoked a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know of him doing drugs beyond that.
Yeah, I can't really kind of picture him, you know, doing coke.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who knows?
Snowman at Cambridge.
So, all right. So his dad, I know, just vanished. The dad basically says, look, I can quit anytime I want. I can stop anytime I want. So he's like, well, why don't you? He's like, all right, that's it. I'm going to quit.
I'm cured.
I'm cured. And makes his face of like, I'm so full of crap.
And then he makes his face. He's like, let's hit it again.
Exactly. Wait, where is it?
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
To me come out for me nearly dead with love.
You know, now that I'm going to quit anyway.
Actually, hold on. I think it would be kind of funny if when he comes in the room, that's what he's listening to. Hey, let's.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
Got a minute?
What do you want?
I want to talk.
I already did. It's your viewers.
I came home early so that we could discuss this.
So, yeah,
He's listening. He's listening to the reggae.
Yeah, I can totally see him listening to reggae. All right, so the Brad comes to visit David in a cool ass Jeep.
Hey, bro.
Can't trust people to say bro.
Bro, that say it like seriously like that.
Is the abominable stuff?
I've been guilty of this. What's up, bro?
Been at Cambridge Prep today.
Knock it off, Brad.
Hey, I just came by to give you your books. That is, in case they ever let you back.
So I thought he was going to have stashed something in the bag, and then David was going to like get caught with the bag, and it would be like, you know, I just thought you'd want a little bit of a toot, you know?
Yeah. Three toots in that bag.
I'm not coming back, but thanks.
Sure. What are friends for?
And I was saying, I think it is a decent thing. He went out of his way to drop off his books. Come on.
I'm trying to rustle up a little business.
It's a decent friend.
I also figured since I got your stash, maybe you need a little more.
Hey, is he really that good of a friend? He's just trying to rustle up business.
Right. He's like, you could pay with PayPal now.
Just remember, if you ever need a little something, don't go to a stranger. You know what I mean?
He turns on the car. Okay.
Later, bro.
Yeah, that's
fancy clock.
Yeah, a little too fancy. He just stares at it all day. It's like, this costs how much? Does not keep good time.
Then you have proof of this prevalent drug use on campus.
Yes, I can give you proof, but I'd rather not get involved that way. I mean, what's important right now is that the parents realize what's happened. What I'd like you to do is call a special parents' assembly so I can talk to them.
And I'm afraid that's impossible, Officer Smith. We don't like to involve the parents in these matters. That's why they send the boys to Cambridge. So
smart, because parents never like to go to these things. I mean, when I hear that they're having an assembly for parents, it's like...
You're like, no.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I'm not... Definitely not doing that.
We can teach them the discipline and values that are needed.
It's basically akin to like an HOA meeting.
Well,
you're like, no, I'm not going.
Except so much worse because you've all of these people like you've known since like your kids were in kindergarten. And you don't talk to them anymore. And then they're all like, hey, how are you? What are you up to? And you have to have a whole real conversation.
What are you up to? Have you listened to Landon Nation? Drum up an audience.
I like it.
This is my point, Dr. Windsor. I mean, no school can deal with this country's drug problem without involving the parents. I mean, parental example and concern is at the heart of the solution. I mean, you have to admit, even Cambridge, with all of its ivy and tradition, can't replace a boy's mother and father.
I must say, Officer Smith, you have a lot to say about a world you obviously know nothing about.
Are you telling me you won't call an assembly?
I can't unduly alarm the parents.
Actually, I totally missed an opportunity to do something funny here. Hold on.
Bye.
Well, that too. Bye.
Later, bro.
Bye.
All right, so this is terrible. I'm like laughing, but it's really, I mean, I couldn't imagine running into my dad like at all, because I didn't grow up with my dad. But
taking a toot in the garage.
Dad's Mark starts dealing with daddy issues all of a sudden.
Yeah.
live on the air. You don't get this anywhere else. You don't get daddy issues on Molnar-Grovecast. So he pulls up in his Cadillac. That's super bouncy, I find.
Yeah, this actually could have been on Bad Dad Palooza.
Yeah, definitely Bad Dad Palooza. Actually, wait. I was thinking.
Concerned with your endowment fund, doctor, than you are with your boys.
Like, I didn't like that comment about endowment.
So when we get to the car, it's like.
Rushing door like a bash a choco. Fun time there, time for the bus ride. Sunshine there, a time for the bus ride. Sunshine there, a time for the bus ride. Fun time there, a time for the bus ride.
How about a little toot?
All right, the music's pretty good. Anybody who has a little kit, you might have an issue, right? Mm. John Frusciante, who's one of these like guitarists that I really, really find to be like a really incredible guitarist in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And there's this French documentary, I can't remember, I think it's French, when... after River Phoenix died, he kind of had a mental breakdown, and he was just started doing a lot of heroin, right? Mm-hmm. And in the documentary, he's showing his, like, heroin kit. And it's like, wow, man. Like, you know, you really embrace this, you know, heroin lifestyle. Like, it's really awful. It's amazing that the guy's even alive today.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're taking out of your pocket, I mean, look, he has his little dram of coke. And this little thing is kind of well-worn, you know?
I think later on he says he's been an addict for 4 years, so...
Did you ever see the... this is way before your time. The McDonald's used to have stirrers for coffee.
Oh, really?
And I'm just going to bring it up on the thing. I'm going to say it was from... I don't know when it was... But you look at this and it's like, all right, well, this is totally like a Coke device.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Isn't that nuts?
Funny. Wow.
And I remember these from when I was a kid. Like, you would just get them when you would order coffee or, like, you know, I'd be with a parent who's getting coffee. And it's like, wow, that's cool.
That's crazy.
Save this for later, you know?
Yeah. Nothing means nothing.
No. Oh, yeah, we have to find that. But, yeah, the music's pretty amazing. He's like, if I just carry the cocaine on me, they'll never find it in the garage.
How about a little too?
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dinner.
Okay. Damn. You surprised me. Well, I can't get used to the idea of you being home in the middle of the day.
This is usually when I do my drugs, and I'm not used to you being around.
No, I just love to have joy.
It was Kung
cocaine.
What does that mean? It
means nothing. Nothing means nothing. Nothing does.
He's like, what did my kid just say?
I don't think anyone understands what your kid just said.
He's like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing.
And it's kind of a Sully, like, what's that supposed to mean when he says?
Nothing. Oh, yeah. What are you doing?
Nothing. What is it looking at, Johnny?
Nothing.
What does that mean?
Means nothing. Nothing means nothing. Nothing does.
We get another shot of him running out of the garage going, nothing, nothing.
Nothing.
And nothing and double nothing.
Not for nothing.
Not for nothing. Jeez, poor kid. Why are you making fun of him?
Hey.
Hey. All right, so he picks up his really kind of cool phone, right?
I remember phones like that.
Yeah, me too. A little push button. I kind of nerded out because he has one of the early Apple Macintosh 2Cs, mm-hmm. and I have one.
Brad, it's David. Yeah, listen, why don't you come over this afternoon? My parents are gone. Hey, like I said, he owes me one. How about a little two?
All right, so this song, right, is very strange. I cannot figure out who's singing it. I mean,
I thought it was weird too, because I was like, I could tell obviously what the song is, but I was like, why does it sound like that?
I used the Shazam thing to see if I could find, like, was there another version? But it couldn't find anything. But
interesting.
Like, it's Robert Palmer's song being performed by somebody else, and it sounds like really weird. Like, just weird. All right, so he's in his bed holding a beer, as one does. You know, this isn't a totally uncommon thing to be.
David, let me in.
He's got his little tiny boombox.
It would actually be awesome, though, if instead of the boombox, he's like watching Little House on the TV or something.
That's in my thing where I put the like three pictures together. It'd be kind of funny if he changes the channel and puts on Little House or Brand.
David, what's going on here? You're not back on drugs again, are you?
It's like an apartment in this place.
it is.
Yeah, it's like a double-sized closet. This kid's living life.
No, Mom. My friend stopped by. We had a few beers.
Well, you're going to have hell to pay when your father comes home. We're not sending you to a drug counselor so you can become a drunk.
Don't worry, Mom. You'll be all right.
We'll see how all right it is when your father gets here.
But he won't be mad. Believe me. Dad's real understanding.
I'd kill my kid right there.
I mean, so that's basically like, it's kind of weird that he's just being like openly wasted at home.
Yeah, like there's a problem. And you know, another thing that I think is super unfair, I don't know if we brought this up, is the mother this whole time thinks David is on drugs. I mean, he smoked a little pot, but.
Yeah, no, right. So that's the thing. You know, it's like she, I think does seem like she's like genuinely concerned about the situation.
Yeah.
Like she basically seems like she thinks that her kid like has a drug problem, and she's apparently unaware that her husband is actually the one who has the drug problem.
Yeah.
Story, I gotta get right back.
David is back on drugs.
That's nonsense.
No, Ronald, just please go talk to him, will you?
I'll be with you in a minute.
That's nonsense. You should just say that. No matter what, like, people tell you, that's nonsense. This is another thing, is we're starting to see like he has like stashes like in the house. We saw he had like his own little thing earlier, so he's going through a lot of coke. Those cufflinks.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's make it quick.
That's a decent spot to, like, hide something, I think. I just heard your cat.
Oh, yeah. She's, like, by the door. She's like, let me out.
So look at this, like, lunatic with his shoes on the bed. Get those off. Are you out of your mind? Those are your street shoes.
David, what is this, your mother?
Yeah, what is this? Agam? A-G-A-M. Or MAGA. Oh, my God.
Me. You're doing drugs?
Or Adam, maybe?
I think is it A-G-A-M?
I don't know. I'm going to take a screenshot and do like one of those Google reverse things later. See what it is.
Dad? Oh, no, we just had a few beers.
You didn't act like someone who had just had a few beers.
Dad, we had our talk.
Except he kind of did, though.
Yeah, he didn't seem high to me.
No.
We both know the importance of being honest with one another, don't we?
He's being a little bit of a dick here, though. Like, he's all like, are you feeling me, Dad? You know, like, that type
of attitude. Well, so the thing is, like, he is, but I actually kind of, like, don't blame him because his dad is, like, such a colossal dick to him.
Yeah, I agree with you, but his dad is also now afraid of him. Like, oh, don't tell your mom, don't.
You know,
it's so ridiculous. It's just really crazy. Let's see. The mom calls the police, and they reach out to Jonathan. He has to find a payphone, which is just awesome.
These two cops who are, like, only cops for this episode are, like, the biggest cops in town for this episode.
Right, they're the most important police in all of Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, it's, like, really funny because it's, like, they just appear one day, they're cops, and then it's, like, they're super important cops, but then it's, like, they just disappear after this.
Right. They have, like, inside jokes, you know? Doesn't Mark think it's a little bit weird to just be driving around, like, in a police car when you're not a cop?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, Jonathan's an angel, you know, the other, you know.
He's like a temporary cop.
Mark's though, a citizen. Episode. Mark's, he's a regular citizen.
He used to be a cop, though.
It's true. I wish they kind of pushed that a little bit more.
Well, there actually is an episode where he kind of becomes a cop, like legitimately, like for the episode, he's like riding with his old partner. But his old partner, it actually is like one of those episodes where it's like, sometimes like you're kind of like, wow, this seems like really dated. But then sometimes it's like, oh, that actually is like pretty relevant. Like the premise of the episode is that his old partner that he's riding with basically is like racist. And then he ends up, you know, like killing this black guy.
I think I remember that episode.
Or like it was I forget like what the thing was, but it was something where it was like totally an overreaction, you know, like to what, you know, the guy did or whatever. And I was like, when I watched it, I was like, whoa, this seems like stuff you hear about in the news all the time, like today, right. You know, so I was like, this is kind of crazy.
Jonathan calls collect because he doesn't have a quarter.
Hello?
Mr. James, Officer Smith.
Officer Smith, thank God.
What's wrong?
I've been trying to reach my husband, but they won't interrupt him on the air. He's David. He's locked in his room. He's swearing and acting crazy. I'm sure he's back on drugs.
All right.
He's swearing. Like, it's kind of... He's cursing. I don't know. It just seems kind of like...
Come on, open up the door, David.
You don't look so good, son.
I don't feel so good.
David, we want to know what's going on.
You promised me you'd stop. I should have known.
Promised? Who promised?
My dad, that's who.
My dad.
What's happened to my son?
Diane? David?
Ronald?
Diane, where the hell are you?
Where the hell are you?
Ronald?
What is that police car doing outside?
David is back on drugs.
What?
He's up there mumbling things about some promise that you've broken to him.
Promise? What promise?
The promise that you made to him. If he took the blame for the cocaine we found in the garage, you'd stop using drugs.
He said that? I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, yes, you do, because it's the truth.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Ronald doesn't use drugs, Officer Smith. He hates drugs. Ronald, tell them that it isn't true.
Of course it's not true. He's under a great deal of stress. He's had a relapse or something.
Oh, come on, Mr. James. Your son didn't have a relapse. He never used cocaine until today when he saw you doing it.
I don't have to put up with this.
So he did use cocaine that day?
Yeah, I think it's all
I was under the impression
day.
That he just was drinking.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I guess he would know because he's the angel, but we don't have any evidence that Daniel used cocaine. I mean, David used cocaine. Right? I mean.
It was very easy to prove me wrong. Just show me the contents of the vial you have in your jacket pocket.
Okay, that's it, Smith.
That's for my glaucoma.
You don't have probable cause.
How dare you? It's like,
I'll never let go.
You don't have a warrant. I want you out of here. Now.
Jack.
Jonathan, you can't bust them. It'll never stick.
I said out!
I don't think so.
There's nothing more we can do tonight, Mrs. James. Just remember, you don't need a warrant to save your family.
Oh. So the wife's like, all right, I know something's up. I've been married to you for 20 some odd years. I knew you were on coke. Like it's the porn collection in the coke.
Pocket!
Oh, yeah. All right. Wait.
What's in your pocket?
What are you doing?
What's in your pocket?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah.
Step off, George.
What's happening to you? You
What's
told
in your
us-
pocket?
And he shoves her.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy.
I mean, the only thing that would make this, like, crazy is if she hit her head on, like, you know, a bronze statue and died right there.
Yeah, which you could almost see that happening.
For this show.
Just to make the episode, like, even more tragic with, like, the drug, you know, like, really hitting home with, like, the drug thing. That, you know, stuff like... is getting out of hand.
Right, and at that moment, the sun comes down and sees, like, what happened. And...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Your own son? You betrayed your own son for what's in here? Get out of here!
Diane, listen.
Go to your station, read your notes, go do your drugs! Just get out of here!
She's mad.
I mean, I'd be pissed too. Yeah, the guy's been like, I mean, all the stuff that we've seen happen in this episode, and then it's like, you know, he's been doing it for years. Like, he had no idea. I mean, I'd be pissed.
And essentially framing his own son, which is just that's all of the other stuff. You could be like, all right, well, he's addicted and he's, you know, not in his right mind. But framing your own son, that's just, I don't know, it's way over the line. And you know what? Like, shoving her down because, like, you don't want to give up your little tiny bit of, you know, you don't want to be caught with the thing that you're obviously caught with.
Still can't believe it. A father doing that to his own son.
It's cocaine, Mark. It changes people.
I'm an angel. I knew it the whole time.
Right. I should have let you in on it, but
yeah. Yeah. I kind of like surprising you.
Exactly.
The drug becomes everything. Their friends, their family, they don't mean a thing.
Code 3 at the parking lot on 14th and Broadway. A girl passed out, possible drug overdose. All units in the vicinity, proceed.
Let's hit it.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
Wait, let me do it one more time.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
To me come out, force me nearly dead with laugh. I watch it because what she do like
I did think that's him saying let's hit it. It was pretty weird in the context of a drug episode.
Bus rider, sunshine day a time for the bus rider. Fun time day a time for the bus ride. No.
What happened?
I don't know.
must have just passed out or something.
Did you take any pills? Is she on drugs?
She's allergic to strawberries.
No. No, there was nothing.
Just that peanut butter sandwich.
Right. She has a really, really terrible peanut allergy, and she's lactose intolerant.
If she doesn't have a chance, you're going to have to tell her.
Get the faint pulse. Quick.
Jack.
Tell him.
Jack. Jack.
It was cocaine.
There's a boat. Jack.
So he gave her cocaine. What's with this little sticker on here? What do you think that's covering?
I don't know.
That's weird. It's like the brand.
Sorry to cut you off there, but I was actually just thinking that they could have also done this episode because they're focusing on, like, you know, the father and the son and the dad being the addict and framing his kid. But you could also have an episode out of just the Brad story. And that, like, he's dealing the drugs and then gives the drugs to his girlfriend. Oh, and then totally. She ends up dying, you know, and just, like, in the whole, like, aftermath of all that.
I would say in some ways that's more interesting.
Right.
Than, and believable. Versus, I mean, I'm not saying this can't happen, but I don't know how many, you know, newscasters are framing their sons.
Right.
Maybe it's happened.
I mean, maybe like kind of what they're getting at with that is that, like, kind of like the people that people kind of consider to be, like, respectable people that have kind of like these, like, hidden things that you don't really know about.
Right.
And that, you know, that there are people who are, like, walking around and they're, like, addicts and you don't know it, like, you know.
And yeah, I think that's really what they're trying to, like, put forward. Kind of like, you just never know. And that's kind of the way I grew up. You never know who's a drug addict. It's kind of scary to think about that when you're a kid.
New lead story just came in.
This guy looks super familiar and I cannot place him. I didn't look him up either.
Another kid OD.
So he looks pretty normal here, I think.
Places, please.
But when he goes on air, he just looks really, really...
really rough.
Newsman.
Actually, I think this is kind of funny in the very beginning of it. The music. I kind of want to clip this for, like, the intro or something. Here, take a listen. Welcome to Land of Nation.
Now, the Action Witness News at 6, with the city's most respected newsman, Ronald James, and the Action Witness News team.
They said the most respected newsman?
Yeah.
Like, who has an intro like that on the news?
Ronald James. Dio. Hey, his name is Ronnie James Dio, the singer. I don't know if you ever listened to Dio.
Do not.
Oh, the heavy metal band Dio. He was, I think he sang for Black Sabbath too for a while. It's like dead air.
Something's wrong with him. Punch up a slide. I said punch up a slide.
I can't. It won't work.
A young girl is dead tonight from an overdose.
So he looks like crap.
Right.
And this goes on for a really long time. What do you think I should play in this? Because it's really long and it's kind of preachy. But I guess I play the beginning of it. I mean, it kind of
I guess just kind of start playing it and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, he confesses, essentially.
Cocaine. I knew the girl. She was a friend of my son.
Did we even see that girl with David?
No, I actually thought that. I was like, so your son knows Brad, but does he really even know his girlfriend? Like, because we don't ever have evidence of them knowing each other.
I mean, Jonathan met her briefly, but we have no evidence that he knew her.
But it could just as easily have been my child or yours. And when you read about the death of Leah Barnes in tomorrow's paper.
His fingers are crazy to watch.
Yeah, I was just watching his left hand.
It's like strangely mesmerizing, but also disturbing.
Yeah. Want to blame somebody.
It's like some type of AI thing. Yeah.
The boy who gave her the drugs, or the gangsters who brought the drugs into the country, or the politicians.
He's tweaking.
Can't stop them. And maybe you'd be right.
He's actually doing a puzzle at the same time because he's so high.
But it's also
just a little 500 piecer.
Just a little 500 piecer. Beatles White Album.
That.
He's playing it like a synthesizer or something like that.
This child is dead. Because I'm a drug user. Two.
You want me to pull the plug? Maybe I can shut off his mic.
No. Push in closer.
I've been...
No, zoom in. This is actually pretty funny, too. They're just, like, slowly zooming in on him.
For the past 4 years. So?
It's too serious of a clip to kind of goof on, you know?
It was my money that helped build the drug empire in this country. And it was my habit that made me betray my own son because I couldn't admit that I'm an addict.
There's the crickets for everyone.
But you don't have to be a drug addict to be a part of the problem.
It's the ugliest lamp I ever saw in my whole life.
Yeah.
Actually, it would look nice. I don't like the shape.
I actually kind of hate its placement on the top of the TV like that.
Right. That's supposed to be for a VCR or another TV.
Yeah, like who puts a lamp right there? You put it, or even if it's on like the end of it, I would be more accepting of it. But like right in the middle like that, it's very weird.
Yeah, why would you want a light on top of a TV?
It's so weird.
I also think it's weird how in the 80s, we had a console TV, and it's like, kind of like down, like you're like nowadays TVs are up,
right? Yeah,
but you're kind of like looking down at them, like pretty low.
As parents, we can't depend on the police and the paramedics to save our children, and your children can't just write off what they do as being cool or getting kicks. The police, the courts, county social services, these are second options. The first option is you, the families of this country. I betrayed myself and my family.
Jack. He's actually doing like a pretty good job of the tweaking out.
Yeah, he does look like the kind of person who, or like hungover type of. He definitely looks exactly right.
They're all you've got.
You think he's a character actor and he's like, look, I need to, you know, 3 days of just doing nothing but coke. And
yeah.
It's in my contract.
Yeah. He believes in method acting.
Right.
They're all any of us ever have.
That's it.
And then that's crazy because that's just the end of the episode.
Yeah. Like, there's no, like, well, I guess it was a good thing that it all worked out at the end.
So the thing that actually is kind of weird, too, is that we get some of like the little like kind of like Michael Landon monologues, you know, but not as forcefully as like what he often does. And like, you know, when he's dealing with subject matter like this, where like he really has that, where you're like, this is like the conversation, you know, that's kind of like the turning point of the thing. And it's like, he's not so much like that in this episode. I mean, like, there's like this other drug episode of Highway to Heaven where it's totally like, you're like, yeah, this is totally that thing that like Michael Landon loves to do, you know, where he does that thing where he just totally starts kind of like chewing the person out, like in that way that he does, you know, that he totally pulls off. But in this episode, he really more is like kind of taking like, it's more like he's just sort of like observing things and kind of like letting them play out, you know, which is kind of interesting. His role doesn't seem quite as hands on.
I want to point out that this is a Blockbuster Entertainment company.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. I don't know what that's all about. Like Blockbuster Video, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I thought this was a really good episode. We got some good cocaine
things. Got some good laughs.
Jack!
Oh, yeah! But, well, Kelly, thank you so much for getting together tonight to do this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We should go ahead again, but I get first dibs on it.
To me come off, force me nearly dead with love.
But yeah, thank you so much. I look forward to doing the next one. People should head over to Landon Nation on Facebook or LandonNation.com. By the time this comes out, PrairieReview.com will be available for everyone's perusal.
We're beholden to it now.
Yeah. Paid for it. Actually, no, I didn't. It was free. But yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to the next one. Bye.
Bye.